Our family is being supported by our angel tree has been met. And I think a businessman from the church, couple of cool things. One family bought 50 bicycles. Another businessman sponsored 100 different families. And so thank everybody for being a part of that. Our outreaches begin this week. We're just a couple days from that happening. So it's just going to be a phenomenal month of loving people. We've had actual great miracles happen through our outreaches over the years. And expect the same thing to happen this whole month. It's just a great opportunity for us to love people. And once people know that you care, they'll listen to what you have to share. And that's what we want to do. Man, what a beautiful worship service tonight. And it's just, Edward sets a great example of, we give our worship leaders here just permission to follow the Holy Spirit. And, you know, so we did like one half a song. It was on the song list. It doesn't matter. Just beautiful rhythm and flow. Because that's what we want. We want the Holy Spirit and what he's doing. Edward, is Jasmine still here? I want to pray for her. And I want to pray for this girl next to you, Cliff, too, and a couple other people. Then I'm going to preach, I promise. I got a great word for you. All of your life, when setbacks have come and people wondered if you'd make it past them, there's been inside of you this great resilience. And God's just really proud of the way that you've triumphed over difficult things. And people wouldn't know how many hardships or how many obstacles were on your path because you've not had a normal path. But you've had so much achievement, but it's been through great perseverance and great commitment. And the Lord's just really proud of you, like any father would be of a daughter who does that kind of, who lives that kind of way. But I just felt like tonight, to you, and I just want to say this over anybody here, that God's lifting off of you kind of the burden of disappointment and pain from another season of your life. And that this holiday season is going to be real joyous to you because you're not going to carry into it the things that life has tried to make a part of your burden. God's lifting them off of you. You're going to feel liberated. In fact, the way that you talk, you have a voice, you have a gift with words and sharing things. And people are going to sense a genuine joy is coming from your heart. It's what God's done. Just watch. Things are going to get better and better and better until you feel not only like you used to feel, you're going to feel 10 times better. God's going to reverse things and make things tremendous in your life for his glory. So everybody say, this is going to be a great December for me and my family. Just say that. Okay. And it doesn't matter about any kind of natural, problem that would rise up or things you have to deal with. Because we have God, because we have Jesus, because we have God's care for us, he can make what seems like would be a difficult time become just an extravagantly rich and beautiful time. I promise you. Hey, tonight, Ephesians chapter 5, we're speaking from this chapter, and I apologize, I have to cover all these verses tonight, but we're going to have fun. I was going to call tonight, this was an experimental title, but I'm not going to call it, Marriage is Too Hard to Do Sober. It fits into my context a little bit, but I don't think I can use that one. But I'll tell you a little marriage joke. A couple were in the bathroom getting ready, and the man jumped on the scale, and he pulled in his stomach. He held his breath and pulled in his stomach, and the wife said, "That's not going to help you any." And he said, sure it does. Now I can see the numbers. So, okay. Verse 1, chapter 5, Ephesians. Therefore, be imitators. Mimetus is the great Greek word. It means to imitate, like a child mimics the behavior of parents. Imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. When a person walks in love on this planet, they smell fragrant to God. So if you want to send heavenly perfume, okay, if you want your life to smell good to God, love people. Walk in God's love. The Message version gives an amplification of that that I like this. Watch what God does and then do it yourself. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but it was extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Love like that. So we are never more like Jesus than when we're loving people. That's right. We're called to love people even when they're unloving. Even when they're not being proper. Even when they're dysfunctional. So when we walk in love, we're walking the high road. We're walking the Christ life. We're pleasing God. God breathes in the perfume of love. Because he knows it's a sacrifice, like Christ in his sacrifice for us. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Okay, so it's interesting. Goes right from love into sexual activity. So don't ever mistake lust for love, okay? So real love is quite different. We're just going to talk about it later in this chapter. For this you know, verse 5, that no fornication in the Bible, or just in your dictionary case, sexual activity outside of marriage, okay? You can throw everything into that. Fornication or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Don't be partakers of them. So that's a mouthful, and I really need you guys to get. So we're kind of diving in now to deep behavioral theology from the Bible, what a Christ-like life looks like, okay? So let's say a couple of things. So it's easy to extrapolate that verse and say, well, you can't be a coveter, you can't be an idolater or a fornicator and go to heaven. You can't have the kingdom of God, which people interpret as heaven. So, but I need you to get this. There are lots of Christians that have those problems. See, I've pastored thousands of people. I've spoken to hundreds of thousands of people. Lots of Christians struggle with those issues, struggle with sexual issues, struggle with getting their heart right concerning money and not material things. And so here's the thing. There's a difference between being saved and living in the kingdom. So the moment you accept Christ and his sacrifice, you're saved without any kind of behavioral change. On the inside, the same grace that washes away your every sin empowers you to overcome the temptation of sin. So God wants you then to walk in a Christ-like life that exemplifies now a sanctified holiness, a different way of living. But he does that by internally changing your heart, your mind, renewing your mind, changing the way that you, the gears work of the inside. You think differently, you believe differently, you feel differently. But here's the issue. So lots of people are saved but not living in kingdom living. So here's what he's saying. You can't live the abundant life that the kingdom of God offers you if you're bound by these habitual sin practices. These practices will keep you locked out of it. So it's just like, so a great analogy is the children of Israel brought out of Egypt by the sovereign act of a loving God. They did nothing but receive, okay? Passed the 10 plagues, ending with the Passover. By the blood of innocent lambs, pure lambs, they were brought out. They were delivered. They passed through the Red Sea. The waters swallowed up the Egyptian army, a portrait of water baptism. They were saved by blood, a portrait of Christ. And so they come out. God feeds them manna. By daytime, there is a great air conditioning unit, a cloud by night, a fire to warm them and keep predators away. So they had everything. They're saved from something. And then God brings them to the Jordan River, and he said this, I didn't just save you from something, I saved you for something. Now cross over this Jordan and enter into your inheritance. That's a type of kingdom living. Find your destiny. Live in the abundant life that God has for you. But they said, we like being saved from something. We don't like being saved for something. So they never got the kingdom. Lots of people in Christianity get saved. They're going to heaven, but they never get to experience heaven and earth, the kingdom of God. So here's what he said. If these sins have a grip on your life and you're living in the habitual control, they're going to keep you from the abundant life God has for you in the kingdom. You have to get that in your theology, or else you become a Christian that says, someone will share their heart, they're struggling with a sexual sin, and you'll tell them you're going to hell. Well, that's bad theology if you tell them that. No, they're living in hell. You have to think, they're not in the kingdom. They're not in the fullness of the kingdom. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, the fullness of God. So God has a great life for you, a destiny, a purpose, an abundant life, a victorious life. And so so three times in the epistles, Paul uses this kind of language that says that people that have these things don't enter into the kingdom. But see, what legalists do is they say, well, that means you can't go to heaven. Well, if that's true, none of them go to heaven. You with me? For their prideful arrogance and judgmentalness, which is to God worse than maybe other kinds of sins. So we have to be real careful that we don't leverage one verse of scripture to try to assault people, because there's going to be more people in heaven than you think, and people that you don't think should make it are going to make it. Yeah, because you get there by Jesus. That's it, okay? But that doesn't mean, of course, God wants us to live in a sanctified Christ-like life. Of course. But people that, there are lots of people that just, that, you know, for whatever reason, can't find that pathway to the kingdom. What does that mean? It means heaven is theirs, but on earth they missed out on the kingdom, okay? Really important stuff. Okay, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Beautiful sentence. Okay? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So we want to walk in the light of who God is. The light of truth. The light of love. The light of light. God's life. The light that of revelation. The light of the Holy Spirit's guidance. We want to walk in the light of transparency with God. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, but have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Well, how does the light expose the darkness? Just by being there. So the Bible does not tell us to be experts about defining and elaborating or explaining what darkness is. All we have to do is shine, and the contrast between the life of Christ in you and the darkness in the world will make the comparison evident. Just shine, baby. Just shine. Love people. Amen. Walk in holiness. Do your best to serve God. Amen. Follow the Holy Spirit. Man, just shine, shine, shine. Okay. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed and made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. So there's a whole bunch there, but I want you to get the next verse, because Edward was prophesying this tonight. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. So this is awesome, because he's talking to who? He's talking to believers. Awake to what? Awake to the righteousness that is in you. So when you got saved, the capacity for supernatural change was given you by the righteousness of God inside of you. You were given a new nature. And when we awake to something, what does that mean? We see it. We recognize it. We experience it. So we awake to something by discerning its truth, by receiving its reality, then by expressing it in our own behavior. So So this is a wake-up call, and it's the Holy Spirit is so beautiful about giving us these wake-up calls to help us be stirred out of something, a slumber. See, you can be brokenhearted and have a slumber of brokenness. You can be slumbered. You can be in a slumber of compromise or indifference or just apathy, which so quickly grabs us, our Christian life. There's lots of things that can put us into a little bit of slumber. But when the Holy Spirit comes in our life, he wakes us up. I prayed for 500 people in my ministry these years. I prayed for someone who was high on something. Drugs and all kinds of stuff. Slap my sweaty preacher hand on them and watch them supernaturally sober up. Come out of the intoxication of a substance, and the Holy Spirit helps us sober up, because we can be sleepwalking through life, missing out, not seeing divine possibilities and not seeing the beauty of what God's put right in our world. Okay. He said, wake up. See that you walk, verse 15, circumspectly. It's a Greek word for soberly. Not as fools, but as wise. Plain words, fools, asophos. Wise is sophos. So, sophos is the wisdom of God. Sophia, the wisdom of God. So, whenever I'm living my life, making my decisions, and guiding my course without God's wisdom, then I'm doing it in a foolish way. I'm doing it in a way that's not as good as it could be. If the Holy Spirit and God's word were the navigating instruments of my life, walk then wisely, okay? Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So there are a couple words for redeeming. One means to buy back something like we do at the pawn shop, to buy back something. That's Christ redeemed us. This is a different word, an agrarian word. It means to make the most of seasonal opportunities. So it was used, I redeem the time by doing what the season requires. So that means in springtime, I sow, so in summertime, I can reap. If I miss the season of springtime, if I miss the purpose of a season, I miss the harvest in the next season. So understand the Holy Spirit connects us to a divine providence, to a supernatural ability to understand our seasons so that we act in accord with God for the season we're in. And when we do that, we maximize the potential of that season. That's the Holy Spirit's so awesome, because he'll guide us appropriately for where we are in life. He'll give us wisdom, guidance, peace. He'll give us a real understanding about how to make the most of a season we're in to capture its harvest by fulfilling its potential. Okay? And so verse 18 now, this is really getting the cool stuff. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is awesome. Because the comparison is, it is so obvious, okay? Here's what he said. The way that you live a life that allows you to love the unlovely, to overcome temptation sexually, to be a steward in your heart and not become an idolater by worshiping stuff. The way you do that is to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's using the imagery of wine. So a person that drinks too much wine, their senses become intoxicated by that wine. And here's what God says. I would like to affect your senses with my spirit. So the more Holy Spirit you get, the smarter you get. The more alcohol you get, the stupider you get. Or drugs or any other intoxicant. The more of it, the more your abilities are diminished. But the more Holy Spirit you drink in, you come alive. You awaken. Okay? You become alert. You have the capacity to love. Be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because you live in a crazy world. Be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because you leak. You can't make it from Sunday to Sunday. You got to fill up, baby, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You have to replenish the well, okay? So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Drink deeply. Of the Holy Spirit Until what? Until your behavior responds willingly and joyously to a Christ-like life. Okay? Then he says, here's how you get drunk. Did I say that? Here's how you get full of the Holy Spirit. Speaking, verse 19, to one another, King James says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Whew! Now we're having a praise party to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what he said. If you keep the song of worship on in the inside, you keep the replenishing fullness of the Holy Spirit coming into you. See, one of the reasons why, with me, when I worship the Lord, I feel so satisfied. Like your favorite meal, whatever it is, you know, you've had, oh, that's so good. So, why? Because I was made to worship. So whenever I fulfill a destiny calling, God gives me a rich satisfaction, an unusual fulfillment, and a great joy. So I feel satisfied, fulfilled, and joyous when I worship. I was made to worship. It's part of my purpose. So whenever I do something like love people, I feel purposeful. I feel satisfied because I was made to do it. So whatever your purpose in life is as a Christian, when you fulfill it, you will be the most satisfied you'll ever be because you're drinking in of the cup of God's purpose for your life, which is the most satisfying meal you'll ever have, the will of God. So he says this, just keep your worship going. Keep your worship going. Keep your song going. Keep loving God. Amen. In your mind, at work, in the car. Instead of listening to, you know, whatever, put on some worship music. Put on Hillsong. Put on BJ. Put on just anything. Keep your love with God. Keep that river flowing. Keep it. I love it. You know, 3 or 4 days a week, I'll wake up singing songs in the morning we sang here at church. I'll wake up with that song just going, awesome. So what does that mean? My spirit was worshiping all night long. All night long. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. So all of us in these turbulent times need to have regular scheduled filling times so that we're capable of surviving the hostilities of this world. So anybody, if you're having a hard time, you just ain't high enough. Okay, have a drink and get higher. Okay, I'm sorry for that comparison, but it's just right there. Be filled with the Spirit. Sing yourself happy. Worship yourself happy. Worship yourself so people don't bug you no more. You know you need to be filled when people getting at you. Oh, God. What do you want? Don't you like that when someone at the store, you're asking for help. What do you want? I'm trying to spend my money here at your store. We don't want to have bad attitude. Okay, so the next verse says this. So we're talking about the beauty of being filled with the Spirit. The next verse just slaps us. Submit to everybody. Whoa, what just happened here? We were doing so good. We were dancing on the stage. We were lost in the Spirit. You are worthy of it all. And next thing, submit to everybody. What? That's hard to do. It's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to give people access, egress. It's hard to let people see into you. It's hard to be transparent. It's hard to have integrity. And so the Bible says, make your life an open book. And the more accountability you have, the more success you'll have. Submit to everybody. Or everybody submit. Okay. Then he jumps into the big enchilada. Wives, submit to your husband. Uchi mama. As to the Lord. The Bible never says women are under men, but it says in the family, God has an order. And here he said, here's the order. Wives, recognize that God has put a primary leadership role in your husband. Honor that. Submit to your husband as to the Lord, for the husband's head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, and he's the Savior body. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands and everything. Okay? So, let me read that in the Message Bible, because it gives some beautiful portrayal. Out of wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way that Christ does to the church, not by dominating her, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ, as he exercises such leadership, wives should recognize and submit to their husbands. Okay, so here we are. This is tough stuff, because lots of women are smarter than their husbands. Lots of women are more gifted, have much more emotional dexterity, are more discerning. And you got this guy, and the Bible says, submit to him. And you're like, are you kidding? He's going to screw everything up in 5 minutes. Are you kidding? Do you know him? But here's what God says. If you get out of the way, I can work in your husband. But as long as you're fighting, and as long as you're contending, and as long as you're trying to reshape him, or as long as you're trying to change him, or as long as you're trying to be him, I can't deal with him. Get out of the way. Just trust me with him. See the Bible says for believers to submit to leaders. So if you come to this church, I don't call you every night and say, what are you having for dinner? I'm not sure that's the right thing to have tonight. I could care. I don't want that. It's all attitude. I don't want to govern your life. I want to set an example for you to follow. But the Bible says that there should be mutual submission. I've had the same pastor for 25 years. Talked to him today for a long time, Lawrence Kennedy. Beautiful man. I've been an open book my whole life to him about everything. And I love being accountable. I love being open. I love the freedom I get by honoring authority. So you have to get this, women, because the culture will tell you that somehow this is a horrible tragedy and it's the mistreatment of women. But this is the way God protects women the best, and it causes them to flourish the greatest if they're in a healthy relationship with a man. So if you think that's hard, wait till here's the hard stuff. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives, agape, your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Okay. If you think it's hard to submit, so here's what the Bible says. The way Christ loves us, oh, by the way, he died for us. I want you to love your wives in a self-denying, sacrificial way. Uchimama twice. That's tough stuff. Love your wives like he loved. Wow. He gave up everything. Yeah, give up everything. Give up everything. Okay, love your wives that way, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing water of the word. Okay, there's so much here. So I'm just going to say some powerful things. I usually spend 1 month on these verses, okay? So I have half of a service. So the things a man says to his wife ultimately determine the quality of relationship they're going to have, the atmosphere of the home, and the outcome of their marriage. So God made women to respond to love. And God made men to respond to respect. We got a bunch of high-achieving men here, sports stars, people in the army, people in the military, people have done. Men will do anything for honor. That's the code of a man, an honor code, the respect code. You look at a man wrong. What you looking at, man? You dishing me? You dishonoring me? So honors everything, respects everything to a man. But God made women to be loved. And so women are loved by the words that come out of their husbands' mouths. And so as a little boy, I grew up with ministers. My parents were ministers. We'd go to conferences and we'd see these Pentecostal preachers come in. It'd be these awesome Italian suits, these bright ties. And about 10 feet behind them would be this bent over disheveled woman. And here's what I figured out. That guy might look good in public, but his wife tells me who he really is. Because she's like a moon in eclipse. She's getting no sunshine from her husband. She was made to reflect what's given to her. And that man might be reflecting all kinds of stuff to the world, but he ain't giving nothing at home. So often that's been, and listen, 1,000 times it's been true as I deal with ministers all around the world, that many times their wives are absolutely suffering because they're not receiving the kind of quality, love, attention that God made them to have as the husband looks outward instead of in his home. So that's just a little observation, not picking on preachers. I is one, okay? So sanctify. So how does God wash me? So God gave authority to man as a high priest of your home, priest of your home. You say things, they wash over your family and children. Stop cursing your family. You be the priest if you're a man and you're married. You be the priest. You speak godly things to your wife. You speak godly things over your children. You speak, don't let your words be words that hurt. Let your words be words of healing and life. The reason why our adult children still love, our relationships change to a friendship now, but they love to be around us because every time they're with us, it's a good experience. I always have something good to say to my kids, even when I have to work at it. Okay? Why? Every time I've come to God, my worst days, he's always had something good to say to me. He loves me like that. I'm trying to love my family. So verse 27, that he might present her, Christ, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You are the glorious church generation. Man, there's so much there. Because God's pouring out of the vocabulary, the fivefold ministry, the open revelation of heaven. There's never been a generation exposed to so much revelation as this generation. You are the glorious church. Okay, so now I know a bunch of you are single, but I'm reading scripture. So if you're single, you might get married. Can I nod your head again or maybe not? Okay. So single people, we don't know, man. I don't know. The way you're talking tonight doesn't look like it. So how about we try to do things God's way? Amen. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, just a couple things. You don't have to sleep with a bunch of people to find the right person. You can ask Jesus. I stopped dating as a teenager. Okay. That was after dating homecoming queens and UCLA cheerleaders. I stopped dating it because they weren't right. And as soon as I knew they weren't right, I said, why would I date them? People thought I was in college, people thought I was a monk. But no, man, I had as much testosterone as anybody, okay? But here's what I said. I said, God, I trust you. You will bring me my wife. I'm not going to damage someone else's wife. With me, I'm not going to abuse someone else's future wife. I'm going to wait till you bring my wife into my life. And if that's in 2 weeks or in 2 years, so be it. Man, it was worth the wait. That's all I can say. Mary was worth the wait. Okay. Husbands ought to love their wives, verse 28, as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. Okay, there's so much. There's some really deep psychological truth embeddedness, okay? So when a man hates himself, he can't love his family. And so many men in this generation have grown up either fatherless or without father mentors to show them how to love and be loved, struggling for identity. And when a person deep down within them, doesn't matter if they're handsome or accomplished or all those things, so many men are internally unhappy with who they are. And because they're that, that means their relationships are always dangerously toxic. Because you can't love me if you don't love you. Thank you. Can I have one amen and I'll go on? All the sisters, where's the brothers? Got the mute disease tonight? Come on, men. So we want to be guys that, so we want to be, have the normal, healthy, biblical self-respect. We want to have a healthy self-image. You with me? So I went through some stuff. I started hating myself for what I had gone through. And God had to really walk me through it. He said, that's not right. I made a list of forgiving everybody. And the Lord said to me one day, you forgave everybody, well, one person on your list. And I said, well, who is it, Lord? Because I'll quickly forgive them. He said, it's you. Why are you so hard on yourself, Mike? I said, I don't know. I guess I've just always been trying to earn approval instead of just receiving it. Got to love yourself the way Christ loves you. Not in a selfish, not in an exorbitant. Another thing, going up to church, it was like the more you hated yourself, the more holy you were. I hate my life. I hate this life. Glory be to Jesus. Can't wait for heaven. Hallelujah. This world is a cesspool. I hate it all. Raise your hands and worship. Well, something wrong there, baby. Something wrong there. You should love life because of Christ. You should, in the kingdom of God is joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. So when righteousness comes, it brings peace to your heart and joy to your spirit. It releases you to be happy. See, you can be happy even when life is going crappy because you're a Christian, okay? You're living in the kingdom, and your circumstances don't determine your emotional realities. Okay, no man hated himself, but nourished and cherished his own self. So those two words, nourished and cherished, are to be applied toward a man and a woman. So let me say about 10 quick things. Men and women are different. Every cell in a man's body is different from every cell in a woman's body. Men and women are different physically, emotionally. Women have bilateral, possibilities. When a baby is born and testosterone flows into a baby's life, it literally causes brain damage in a little boy. It causes there to be a segregation, a separation between the two lobes of the brain. A man cannot be emotional and logical simultaneously. When a man gets emotional, he always gets stupid. Okay? Doesn't matter. You ever seen an angry man? That's a stupid man. He'll do stupid stuff. Why'd you do that? I don't know. Got upset. Put my fist through the wall. Okay? So women have superior, women live longer. Women are healthier. Women have more memory capacity. Women are talk twice as much as men. Men and women are different. And there's a tremendous lie out there that says we're all the same. We ain't the same. Just be happy who you are. If you're a man, be happy. Be a man. If you're a woman, be a woman. Don't try to be a man. You don't want to be a man. Why would you want to be us? Why? Okay. Nourish and cherish beautiful portraits. Christ nourishing, cherishing the church. Let me read a couple of these verses in the Message Bible. Verse 28, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. That's how husbands ought to love their wives. Whew! Beautiful stuff. they're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. Okay? This is the same way Christ treats the church. Now, the symbolism, the metaphor between a marriage and Christ and the church is tremendously important. It's the most intimate revelation of how close Christ walks with the church. For we are members, verse 30, of his body and flesh of his bones. So think about this. Right now, Christ is one with us. We are one with Christ. We have access to heaven. We have access to everything. The Holy Spirit is the unifying bridge between heaven and earth inside of us, representing the image of Christ, the nature of Christ, the person of the Father. But we are one with Christ right now. And so in marriage, so I'll tell people this. So counseling some folks, let me give you a quick testimony. I got a great thing today from a woman in church. She said, "Pastor, I was told I couldn't have another baby. Had many miscarriages. And, you know, a year ago, I was prayed for. God spoke to me in the worship service and gave birth this week to a miracle baby boy." Another great thing, okay? But I'll tell people, when you pray, so when you're married and you pray for your spouse, God hears it as if they prayed it. So when I pray for Mary, when Mary prays for me, so I'll be doing these conferences, you know, and I'll in one meeting prophesy to 300 people for four, you know, hours straight, an unbelievable physical thing, okay, just physically. And so she'll be over here praying in tongues the whole time. And when she's praying for me, God hears it as if I'm praying, because I can't pray and prophesy simultaneously. It's just unbelievable. So the reason why the devil attacks homes and causes division, he wants to stop the most powerful force on earth, that is a couple praying together in marriage. Okay? He wants to stop that because they're one. And so Christ is one with us. It's such an intimate, beautiful portrayal of God's love for us. Man, oh man. And so think about this. You think you waited a long time. Jesus has been waiting 2,000 years for his honeymoon. We're going to have a honeymoon that lasts 1,000 years. It's called the Millennium Feast, okay? It begins when Christ comes. He starts a party. He has so much in his heart, it takes him 1,000 years. The glimpses of God's love we get in our worship, in our lives now. We get the full avalanche of the waterfall of heaven's love in that time. It's going to be unbelievable, okay? Let me wrap this up. This is the great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church, verse 32. Verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, so the two words I want you to get are just love and respect, okay? So that's biblical right there. Men need respect. Now, it's almost, and women need love. So look up here. Don't wait to get what you need to give someone what they need. Someone Facebooked that. That sounded good. Baby Stella like that. She's saying, "Good preaching, Pastor. Thank you, honey." Don't wait for your needs to be met to meet someone else's, your spouse's needs. So that's what happens when we become selfish. Well, my spouse isn't meeting my need. Well, then meet their need. Okay? Because every time you do, you make God, he breathes in the fragrance of joy, the fragrance of love, the fragrance of obedience. How do I spell love to God? Obedience. Okay? He breathes it in. So men need respect even when they're jerks. You can't wait till a man acts respectfully to give him respect. It's better preaching than you're acting out there in Presbyterian land. Why? Because you're feeding him what he needs to be. You're feeding him what he, if he eats the meal of respect, he'll grow into a man of honor. You can't wait till your wife meets your need to love her. Like Christ loved us, to nourish her, to cherish her. Wow. Christ died to die for her of your own selfishness. So a couple of simple ways, okay? I'm not going to go get too much. So how does a woman respect her husband? Okay, you have to be careful. Men hear criticism as dishonor. So you have to be careful in your dialogue with the man, because women will see what's wrong. You have to be careful how you communicate that. Because even when you're right, you can be wrong. Men hear criticism, even when it's proper, as this. They hear it as disrespect. Okay? So a lot of times in a marriage, a man will respect his wife and a woman will love her husband. They'll give the other spouse what they want. But you need to give them what they need, not what you need. So we're first married. I'm out shopping for Mary. I'm looking for a sexy nightgown. Oh, yeah, this is what she really wants. Man, was I wrong. So now I know what she wants. She wants the dishes done. She wants a new pot. She wants this done. You with me? I could care less about any of those things. But they're what she wants. I love her by giving her what she wants. I love her by my words. I love her by being selfless. I love her by fidelity. I love her by not being abusive, verbally or physically. I'll tell people, the reasons for divorce, someone who's unfaithful, someone who's physically abusive. Okay, you don't have to put up with that. If a man touches a woman in an inappropriate way, that is wrong. It just makes me mad to think about it. Okay, so a woman respects a man by making him feel good. So ladies, in every man there's a little boy craving his ego to be built up. Be your husband's best cheerleader. You're so great. Make him feel great. Because if you don't, that gal at the office will. Oh, you're so good. You're awesome. Really? I never hear that at home. Be the best cheerleader in your man's life. So another way, God gave men the gift of testosterone. He gave women the gift of different things. So men have a natural sexual drive. Men and women are different with sex. Men have a chemistry that creates a desire for sex. You respect a man by meeting his sexual need. Now, a man should never abuse that. A man should never make a woman feel subjugated or abused. But a woman who cuts off her husband in that realm or doesn't honor it, the man interprets that as disrespect. You know I need this. You're not giving it to me. So that's a tough thing. So that's a way. So in marriage, I was afraid I'd get in this stuff. Here I am stuck. I'm going to get it off it real quickly. So in marriage, just drink lots of wine. Oh, be filled with the Spirit. You with me? Be filled with the Spirit. Here's what I found out. Everybody I pray for, God makes me fall in love with. I love praying for my family. I pray for them every day. I pray for you every day. Doesn't matter how crazy the week has been, either family or church. I feel nothing but love. Why? I've filled my tank. Be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because life is hard. Marriage is difficult. And it takes a lot of Christ in our hearts to make it work. But it can work because Jesus in you can make you somebody you long to be and make your marriage something that everybody says Jesus has done. Amen. Hey, would you stand to your feet? Thank you for listening to me tonight. Sunday, we're going to rock this place. Sunday morning talking about the put on the full armor of God. I promise you, well, it's going to be spiritual warfare, unbelievable stuff. Lord, thank you for allowing us access to the heavenly remedy of your Spirit. Fill us. Would you just ask the Lord to fill you with his Spirit? Fill us with your Spirit. There's no better way we exemplify a Spirit-filled life than loving, walking in love. Fill us with your Spirit until we're walking in love. Fill us with your love until we're walking with your Spirit and the fullness of your Spirit. Help us to capture your heart and mind for our families and for this world. Help us to walk in a redemptive understanding of every season of life, capturing and making the most of opportunity as it's presented. Help us, God, to live in your kingdom. In Christ's name. I had a word for you earlier, so I got a great word. Everything's changing. God's healing your body and your heart. The Lord's really proud of you. So I felt like tonight you overcame a lot of stuff just to be here and worship God. So physically or emotionally. So this is your turn the corner year. This is your victorious year. And next year, God's going to blow your mind by what he's going to do for you. So the Lord, you know, the Lord received all of our worship tonight, but he showed me tonight that you had really broken through. And so I just declare over your life, a new season begins and a supernatural release happens. You've not only kind of escaped the clutches of a hurtful season, you've overcome its trauma and its history. And God's rewriting the path of your life. And God can't wait to show you. I see the month of February just like blinking. All kinds of good stuff are going to happen. So at the moment I touch you, I loosen healing to your body and the fullness of healing to your heart. And declare that awesome things are on the way in Christ's name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, prayer team, would you join me down front? Listen, if you're a single person or a divorced person, nobody hates divorce more than divorced people. But I promise you, for all of us, drinking in of God's Spirit helps every relationship in our life. Helps us be better employers, employees, better fathers and mothers, daughters and sons. Helps us across the whole spectrum of behavior until we can really shine for Christ. Amen. It's time to awake. It's time to shine. It's time to show Phoenix, Arizona, the kingdom of God in such a supernatural way. I pray tonight. Here's my prayer. I pray tonight for anybody who's been living in a kind of a post-traumatic stress concerning divorce or broken relationships. I just pray for complete deliverance in your heart from it. And that God would so evaporate the last pools of suffering until you're living in a supernatural, just like I prayed for my sister, a supernatural season of new beginnings. And I pray for anybody here that right now you're needing Christ in your home and your life. This is your night. God's ready. God's going to honor your steadfastness and your perseverance and show up big time in this next season of your life. Get ready for surprises in this Christmas season, supernatural surprises in your journey. If you need prayer for any reason, I want to invite you to come forward. If you've come tonight needing physical healing, please let us pray for you. If you say, Pastor, I've been through some tough relational things or going through them now, let us pray for you. Let Christ help you. Let freedom come. If you're here tonight never knowing Christ's love and the freedom that Jesus gives every person in the gift of salvation, we'd love to pray for you. Say, Pastor, I need to know Jesus, or I need to come back to Jesus. If you're not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, with the scriptural evidence of a heavenly prayer language, we'd love to pray for you. Anyone needing prayer, would you come down and let's pray for you. The rest of you, just a moment longer, worship the Lord with us. Come on.
Our shame was great, but Jesus, you're greater. Sin was strong, but Jesus is stronger. Our shame was great, but Jesus, you're greater. And sin was strong, but Jesus is stronger. Our shame was great, but Jesus, you're greater. Sin was strong, but Jesus is
still have something great for you in this season. The Lord's really proud of you. So I saw two things happen. One was a choice, and you could have gone either way, but you did what you felt was the godly thing, the righteous thing. God's really proud of the decisions you've made. And the other one was really forgiving people that had been dishonoring and even mistreating you. And your heart, God's so proud of what you've overcome. Your heart is going to sing again like it's never sang before. So I saw like sheets of music coming. The gift of writing music is yours, but it's coming in a stronger way. Music is flowing into you, but prophecy is flowing out of you. So great things are going to happen this next season. God's opening the door. It's been like a closed door. God's opening a magnificent door for you. It's a kingdom door. God, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for this season of breakthroughs and destiny, fulfilled promise. And everything you've ordained to do to your son, for your son and with your son, I declare, God, that his seasons have shifted and that you've ordained a path that's going to light up, a path of joy and purpose and destiny, a path of conversion when everything just comes together all at once. Thank you for honoring your word and honoring the heart of your son in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. An awesome church. You can keep worshiping with us for a little bit longer if you'd like to. If you need to go, God bless you. Tell someone Jesus loves them. See you Sunday. Bring somebody with you.
Stronger. Our shame was great, but Jesus, you're greater. Sin was strong, but Jesus is stronger. Our shame was great, but Jesus, you're greater. Sin was strong, but Jesus is stronger. Our shame was great, but Jesus, you're greater. Sin was strong, but Jesus is stronger. Our shame was great, but Jesus, you're greater. Sin was strong, but Jesus is stronger. Our shame was great, but Jesus is greater. Sin was strong, but Jesus is stronger. Our shame was great, but Jesus, you're greater. Oh, sin was strong, but Jesus is stronger. Our shame was great, but Jesus, you're saving me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Side.